Congregation may be seated, and our kids ages 5 to 10 are invited to go with Father David and Miss Kate Friels to Children's Church. And as they make their way there, please pray with me. Heavenly Father, send your Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that inspired and breathed in holy words of your gospel, the same Spirit that rose up your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, from the grave. Send the same Holy Spirit into our hearts, Lord, that this gospel would be new, that it would be good, good news to us this day. To Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. This year we come to the garden tomb with Mary Magdalene, but I want to begin with another Mary. Long before angels came to the empty tomb on Easter morning, angels were announcing redemption. The archangel Gabriel visited the mother of our Lord in Nazareth, announcing to Mary that she would conceive the Son of God by the Holy Spirit. Not only did Gabriel announce the miraculous conception of our Lord by the Spirit, Gabriel revealed the name of the child to Mary, saying, "You shall call his name Jesus." An angel appeared also to Mary's betrothed husband, Joseph. Joseph was afraid of the shame that he might suffer from Mary's miraculous pregnancy, but then Joseph encountered an angel in a dream. "Do not fear," the angel declared to Joseph. Isn't that the persistent message of angels? Do not fear. "That which Mary has conceived," the angel said, "is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And then the child born unto us, as Isaiah prophesied, whose name, named by heaven, is Jesus. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, resting in a manger within a cave. Now, Christian tradition not only testifies that our Lord was born in a cave. If one visits the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem today, you must step down and enter a cave where the manger once stood. The icons of our Lord's Nativity too, they always depict this image of the child born, Jesus, born within a cave. In the cave of his birth, in those images, it always looks like a mouth. Like darkness from his birth is seeking to swallow him up. You see, from the very beginning of his incarnation, hell was raging against the child who was named Jesus. His birth set against that darkness set within a cave, and his body wrapped by his mother in swaddling clothes. All of these are signs of his destiny. His self-emptying, his passion, which we have remembered this week, his passion did not begin in the Garden of Gethsemane or when he was nailed to the cross at Golgotha. As our church fathers have said, our Lord's life was one continual passion. Jesus emptied himself in love from the beginning. He was born in the humiliation of a manger. Throughout his life and his ministry, he continually poured himself out for sinners until he poured himself out completely by shedding his blood on the cross. See, bound by swaddling clothes in the manger as an infant, he bound himself to us, taking on our flesh. It means that he bound himself to our condition and whatever that would mean for us. He bound himself to our despair, bound himself to our sin, even when that would mean that being bound to us, he would descend into hell for our sake. See, the mouth of Bethlehem's cave, it represents a much darker abyss. It is the mouth of hell that wanted to swallow up our Lord in the flesh. And so now look with me, my brother and sister, at the image on the cover of your bulletin. Look there at the grave clothes cast aside that hearken back to the swaddling clothes of his infancy. This is the destiny of the child who would submit to the swaddling clothes of the manger. Now look at the Lord standing. Look how he's clothed. He's clothed in light, glorious splendor. Now look at the cave. Look at the emptiness of the cave. Now look. Look how small it is. The smallest image in this image. How small it appears, especially compared to the greatness of the risen body of our Lord Jesus. This is what happens, my brother and sister, when the one who was named Jesus by heaven, who is the Word made flesh, when he enters hell. In the great Easter words of the Church Father St. John Chrysostom, "You, O hell, have been embittered by encountering him below. Hell was embittered, for it was abolished. It was embittered, for it was mocked. It was embittered, for it was slain. It was embittered, for it was overthrown. It was embittered, for it was now made captive. It took a body, and it met God face to face. It took earth, and it encountered the power of heaven." So here, in this image, is the triumph of the one who left heaven, who emptied himself totally in divine humility. And here is the destiny of the one named Jesus. Jesus' name means God will save. But no one perceived that God would save through one whose name, Jesus, would also become synonymous with scorn. Remember the beginning of his ministry? Can anything good come from Nazareth? Whose name would become synonymous with rejection and shame, to be crucified as a criminal. That's what his name was meaning through Good Friday. But on Easter Sunday, God would redeem the name of his son Jesus, would vindicate his humiliation. Because Christ poured himself out to death on a cross, as St. Paul said, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And all the church said, Amen. Today, the name of Jesus is vindicated. The name Jesus means not only God will save, because of Easter, it means God exalts. God exalts those laid low in the dust of death. Such is the experience of Mary Magdalene at the beginning of Easter morning. She is laid low in the grief of death. Now remember Mary. Remember her story. Mary Magdalene. Mary is one who has known the Lord's saving power already. Mary was one, the Gospels tell us, who she had been living at the mouth of hell herself. She had been a slave of Satan's power. St. Luke tells us that Mary Magdalene, before she met Jesus, she was captive to 7 demons. And then the Lord set her free. She has known the power of the Lord to free her from captivity. So having seen his power, having experienced the freedom he brings, she followed him, gave up everything, followed him, and served him with her whole life. She was more faithful than the disciples whom the Lord had called, followed the Lord all the way to the cross, even when his disciples left him in the hour of his death. And now Mary Magdalene comes to his tomb, crushed by her grief. The one who had been her liberator, you see? Her Lord. Not only is she grieved by the sight of his crucifixion, by his burial, now she comes this morning to another devastating sight.
It is the absence of her Lord's body. She goes and reports the sight to Peter. She presumes someone has stolen his crucified body. She returns to the tomb and is weeping there, and she sees two angels. And they say to Mary Magdalene, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And then she hears a different voice. But this different voice asks the same question of the angels. "Woman, why are you weeping?" Followed immediately with a second question. "Whom are you seeking?" She is seeking the body of the one who liberated her from hell, from the possession of seven demons. And then she hears the voice of the deliverer who had saved her, and he speaks her name, Mary, the one on whom God had bestowed the name above every name, speaks her name in the glory of his resurrection. Mary. A shroud of grief had covered her spirit. Her heart was cloaked in that heartbreak. His glory, just as the cross, the images this week from Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, they were veiled for us in darkness, so the Lord's glory was veiled in the horror of Good Friday. What lifted the veil? It was the risen Lord speaking her name, Mary. This is the same God who called Abram by name from ancient Babylon. When the Lord said to Abram, "I will make your name great." This is the same God who called Israel by name, rescued them out of Egypt, brought them to his holy mountain. It is the same Lord who, after Israel had suffered 70 years of exile, the Lord spoke to them and said, "This is not the end, this exile. But said through the prophet, 'Fear not, I have redeemed you. I've called you by name, and you are mine.'" This is the same Lord whose name is Jesus, the name above all names. And he calls out the sorrowing woman of Magdalene by name, Mary. This is the desire of the ages. It is the greatest need of our soul to hear the risen Christ call us by name. When do you hear the risen Christ speak your name? It's at the river of baptism. And as our church fathers have said, the fountain of baptism is both a tomb and a womb of eternal life. The priest speaks in the name of Christ and baptizes a newborn son, a newborn daughter, by name. We enter the water participating in the death of Christ, and then we exit the water in the resurrection of Christ, just as Jesus exited the tomb on Easter morning. In just a few moments, the risen Lord calls Solomon and Ireland McGuire by name to clothe you, Solomon, Ireland, in the joy and in the power of his resurrection. It is the joy that we have known as his church. But hear this, all saints. We do not hear the Lord speak our name just once at baptism. Salvation is not conversion only. In other words, salvation for Mary Magdalene, it was not finished after she had been freed from seven demons. Salvation called her onward to the empty tomb to see and experience the risen Jesus. So return with me to the image of beauty on the cover of your bulletin. Now look at Mary Magdalene kneeling before her Lord, her face turned to his face. Her kneeling figure, worshiping the Lord, looking toward him. Look how much greater her image is than that small, yawning chasm of death that is in the background. When you look at him face to face, death is in the background. The man named Jesus, the name God has exalted, he exalts the one laid low by the sorrow of death. And it is not only the sound of his voice, the hearing of her name that transforms Mary, it is seeing his face. This is her testimony. How she will announce it. Not only did she hear him speak the name, she will say, I have seen the Lord. The desire of the ages, the greatest longing of the heart, to hear him call us by name and to see him face to face. The heartfelt cry of the Psalms, it is fulfilled at the empty tomb. The Psalms say in numerous places, restore us, O God. Let your face shine on us, and then we will be saved. When do you encounter the risen Christ? When does he call you by name? Not only at the river of baptism. We encounter him every time we come into his holy church. When we come to this table and this veil is drawn back, the stone rolled away and folded up like the grave clothes were in the empty tomb, to reveal the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, risen and given to us. So our Lord says to you, come here. Just as he had said, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come in the image of this great saint, Mary Magdalene, come kneeling to this altar and bring everything you've got, and all that you don't want to have. Come with the godly sorrow of repentance, with all the weight of guilt and shame that you cannot remove. Bring it and lay it here. Come with all that troubles and vexes you and you can't figure out, and lay it here. Come with all the shattered dreams of your story, all that has broken your heart, and put it here. Answer the call of the risen Lord who calls you by name to kneel at his holy altar. Kneeling here, putting out your hands to receive the gift of his body and his blood, you will become stronger than that little chasm of death that is in the background seeking to devour you. Saint Athanasius said that the power of Christ is so great, the power given to his saints, is that those children who are baptized into his name, even young children, become so brave and confident in the Lord that they begin mocking death. They are not afraid. So great is his resurrection within us. Oh, to be sure, I long to hear the Lord speak to my deepest heart in private prayer. I long to hear him give me insight in problems. I long to have mystical encounters. But if he withholds those mystical moments I so desire, the word that I'm wanting to hear, I trust him. I trust his wisdom. But one thing I know, of this I'm sure because he said so, he promised to be here and here with resurrection power in his body and his blood. And kneeling here and then consuming Christ, you are called to rise. To rise, to stand again. Because those who taste and see that the Lord is good, they become eyewitnesses of the risen Christ, like Mary Magdalene. And just like Mary became an apostle of the risen Christ, one commission sent in his name. So all who rise from this altar are called and sent by his name to be his apostles in the world. So come and receive the risen Christ and then rise from this altar and say, I've seen the Lord. Not only that, I've tasted and seen he is good and he is risen. And all for the glory of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.